From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our gospel program. We're turning to John chapter 20, the verses 19 to 23. Those verses will occupy our thoughts today. Our subject is the risen Christ meets his downcast disciples. I hope you can join me again at 3 o'clock this afternoon when we will be broadcasting the second part of our sermon on the return of Christ. It is entitled The Day When the World Will Admire Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verses 7 to 10 is our text. I look forward to your company. Let's enjoy a hymn now before turning to John chapter 20. It's the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet singing for us, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Today we're going to look at the subject, The Risen Christ Meets His Downcast Disciples. John chapter 20 and the verses 19 to 23 is what we will be considering. We may gauge something of the antagonistic atmosphere that prevailed in Jerusalem toward the disciples of Christ by the fact that they met behind closed doors. Verse 19. This was because of their fear of the Jews. The word shut, which appears in that verse, refers to a closing up of a door so as to prevent it being opened. The Savior's appearance would have had a startling impact upon his disciples for that very reason. Locked doors, however, can neither keep the Savior from leaving nor prevent him from entering. First of all, consider the Savior's first words and actions were very well suited to the disciples' needs. Peace be unto you. Considering the state of mind that the disciples were in, these were just the words they needed to hear. They were confused by the Savior's death. They were disconcerted by reports of the empty tomb and his resurrection, and the tide of hatred that was sweeping over Jerusalem and targeting them in particular all united to make them very frightened men indeed. They were guilty of many failures. Unbelief and cowardice were not their only faults, and yet the Saviour did not speak to them accusingly, but gently and kindly. Christ comes to men with words of mercy and love, rather than condemnation and blame. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 17. Men will be condemned for their sins, but that day has not yet come. Now is a day of mercy and grace for repentant sinners. Peace on earth were the words that announced his birth to the shepherds. The same tidings announce his resurrection to the disciples. It was Peter who, on a later occasion, would declare, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." Acts chapter 10, verse 36. The whole of the gospel is summed up in this one word, peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 1. Man, in his natural state, has no peace with God. Rather, he is an enemy of God by his sins and rebellions against God's law. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21. Sadly, some of those that call themselves ministers and servants of Christ proclaim a false peace to sinners. The prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel chapter 13 and the verse 16. How many are told that all is well between them and God, when that is very much not the case? Sinners can only know the peace of God upon repentance and faith in Christ and his work of atonement. But in this passage we read that Christ did more, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 20. They not only saw with their eyes and heard with their ears the proof that Christ was indeed alive, but they felt with their hands. John later wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." 1 John chapter 1, the verses 1 to 3. Faith is never asked to act contrary to reason, as this incident demonstrates. Secondly, the Saviour indicates the heart of the disciples' ministry. "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." John chapter 20 and the verse 23. The word remit means to leave or to forgive. One of the first places that the Greek word that is translated remit here in our passage appears in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 20. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." There the word is translated by left. The task of the preacher is to cause a parting between the sinner and his sins. Just how is this done? First of all, we must ever bear in mind that only Christ can forgive sins. Listen to what is written in Mark chapter 2 and the verses 5 to 12. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth, before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Men partake of Christ's forgiveness when they believe the gospel. Men are parted from their sins under the preaching of the gospel. Paul taught this truth in Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The words of Christ to Paul at his conversion indicates the ministry Paul was to engage in. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Acts chapter 26, the verses 16 to 18. Here is the message Paul was to preach, and here is the effect that would follow such preaching. Preaching Christ and his death as the sinner's substitute works faith and repentance in the hearts of God's elect, and they come to a knowledge of their sins forgiven. Preachers of the gospel point men to Christ and tell them, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 9. Thus preachers of the gospel are the means under God of remitting the sins of the repentant. Thirdly and finally, the gospel ministry can only be successfully conducted by the help of the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. The Savior breathed upon his disciples here, and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. A converting ministry requires the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon the preacher. The mere reciting of words, as some very foolishly believe, will not impact upon the hearts and lives of men. The preacher's proclamation must be accompanied by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It is written of the disciples, in the early years of this age, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Such boldness and power is not in the natural possession of man. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Without his power and unction, the gospel cannot be preached effectively. Christian, pray much for such power to be granted to God's faithful servants, again, in this time of darkness and declension. Please join me again this afternoon at 3 p.m. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.